We're back with Jim Callis, the executive editor-in-chief of Baseball America here on Sportsline. The combination of Bundy and Gausman and these two, for better or worse, and no matter really what happens with them, they're going to be linked together for a long time amongst the Orioles and their fans. What kind of combination is that potentially for a club that won 93 games essentially without them last year?
Well, I mean, you know, for everything the Orioles did last year, I mean, if you were looking at their roster, I mean, yeah, I think it's fair to say, isn't it, Brett, that probably the weakest link, or at least, especially if you're talking long-term talent, was probably the rotation. I don't think there's anybody in that rotation. They had some guys who had some good years, but I don't think Chen or Hamill or Gonzalez scare anybody long-term. And so you're talking about two guys who are legitimate frontline starters at the front of a rotation, which is something they didn't really have anything close to that last year. So it would be a, you know, those guys aren't going to necessarily perform like that, you know, right away in the big leagues. But, you know, these are two guys who are much better, potentially much better than anybody they had on their team last year in terms of starters.
Jim Callis from Baseball America with us here on Sportsline. Also, you think about it. If you were to tell me last year as an Orioles fan that they'd win 81 games and Manny Machado and Dylan Bundy would both make it to the Orioles, that would have been a successful season for any rational or logical Orioles fan. So for them to contend, get to the postseason, break a bunch of bad streaks that have lasted 15 years, and for those two to get to the big leagues, and Manny, honestly, it was one of the more spectacular things I've ever seen, to see him come up and play third base the way he did, considering he really never played it. I really believe he was one of the best defensive third basemen in baseball last year over the final 2 months, and he held his own at the plate. Really, his home runs per at-bat were essentially the same as Bryce Harper.
No, you're right. I mean, what he did was amazing, because considering he had to do it, you know, in the heat of a pennant race, you know, I mean, you know, come into the year, I don't think anybody thought either guy would be up or the Orioles would play that well. You know, and like you noted, Brett, I mean, it wasn't like they just promoted him to the big leagues and asked him to play here and there. They said, yeah, I think he played, if I'm not mistaken, I think he started every game after he came up at a position he had played a couple times in the minor leagues, and he played it well, and he played it much better defensively than anybody they had. And he did that, like you said, without, you know, being a guy who came up and was an automatic out the plate. And it was an amazing rookie year. You know, I think it got lost, you know, obviously behind, you know, guys like Mike Trout and Bryce Harper, because they had spectacular seasons, and Manny did it for, you know, a couple of months rather than five or six, but no, I mean, what he did, you know, the degree of difficulty and what he did was very impressive, you know, also considering how young he was, too.
Jim, I do want to ask you about the third-ranked prospect on the Orioles' top 10 list and someone who's not in the Baseball America top 100, Jonathan Schoop. For my money, and just watching him a bit before he left to play for the Netherlands in the WBC, he's filled out a lot. He's still very, very young. When you look at his Carolina League numbers and his Eastern League numbers, although none of them are spectacular, he more than held his own. Right now, when you watch him play in the WBC, I think you're getting a glimpse of what he could be. He's hitting .350, I think, in that tournament with a couple of big home runs and a couple of big extra base hits. Did some of your guys have him in their top 100 for one thing? And is he someone who could project higher as he develops?
Yeah, I mean, the way we put our top 100s together is we have, I think there were seven of us this year who started off by voting, or not voting, but we all do top 150s, and we kind of combine them together in a spreadsheet and go from there. Nobody had him in their top 100. We had six of the seven of us voted for him. One guy had him at 101 on his list. I mean, so he was, we considered him, we didn't forget about it. I think the big thing with Jonathan, two things to make the list, are one, you know, as you point out, he's very young. But, you know, and you've got to give him credit for that. But at the same time, I mean, he hit .245 in AA last year. He slugged .380. You know, he didn't have, you know, a very impressive year. It was not bad considering his age, but it didn't overwhelm you. And I think if you look at most guys on this list, you know, they're toolsy too, and most of them performed. The other thing that I guess, you know, I guess I'm still trying to figure out about Schoop is it seems like he's filling out. He's never been even an average runner. I think if you're grading him out tools-wise, it's below average speed. It's kind of fringy range, and that to me leads to some questions. Is this guy going to stick in the middle infield? Now, if he sticks in the middle infield, I think you've got a very good player. Now, if he can't and he has to move out of the middle infield, then you're talking about a lot more expectations out of him offensively. So I like Schoop. I think he's a legitimate prospect. He's just not a top 100 guy for me. But he's in the discussion. And to be fair, just, I mean, we obviously take a lot of time, you know, who's number 78, who's number 82, and that type of thing. But I don't think most fans realize that the difference between, say, prospect number 65 on that list and the guy who might be 125 on that list,
mm-hmm.
when you're grading them, if you're putting, you know, numerical grades on future role or outstanding future potential and all that, there's very little difference. So, I mean, we considered him. He was in the mix. he didn't make it, but that doesn't mean that he's drastically worse than the bottom third of guys on that list either.
Final question, Jim, and I love asking this question. Would you rather be the Orioles, and if you include Manny Machado, maybe have three prospects in the top 25, or would you rather be a team that maybe has five or six guys sprinkled throughout and mostly in the back half of that list?
No, if you count Manny Machado, I'd rather have the three guys near the top of the list. Because the thing is, I do think, and I say this a lot, I think you win with stars. I think if you look at most teams that win championships, they have superstars and they build around them. And it's much harder to win. The only team I can think of, Brett, that recently has won a World Series without a guy you'd look at and say, boy, that guy's a star. And it was more just kind of a solid team that didn't have holes was the 2005 White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
They were just, they didn't have any, Paul Konerko is probably the best player long-term on that team, or maybe Mark Burley. But at the same time, they also didn't have any weaknesses. But I think in general, you win with stars. And I'd rather have the guys at the top. The other thing is that prospects aren't sure things. But, much like the draft, your percentages of hitting a guy are much better at the top of the draft each year. The very top and then the first round, and it's like a curve that declines. It's the same thing with the top 100. People have gone back and done studies. Your chances of hitting on a solid regular or a star are much better at the top of the top 100 than it is at the bottom. So I'd rather have two or three guys and then kind of a steep drop-off in the rest of my system if they're elite prospects than have, the solid depth, but no real, no elite guys. Now, obviously you'd rather have both, but I do think if you have to pick one, I would definitely pick the elite talent and worry about the depth later.
Jim Callis from Baseball America. Jim, we really appreciate it. Let's talk again soon.
Sounds good, Brett. Thank you.
That's Jim Callis from Baseball America. We're back with more next here on Sportsline.